sort of fun being outside again. Let me tell you some of the happenings around Redeemer lately. We thank the vicar for allowing us to use his generator. The other day, our big...
Actually, his wife, but...
You always have to interrupt.
He can't keep quiet. This past week, our hot water tank in the boiler room sprung a leak. So we got a new hot water tank. It's a beast. It cost $8,500. Then, the power shut off. Water's accumulating where the new water heater is. So, when you see Fred, thank Fred. Fred works for Etkin, taking care of our property. He came out yesterday, should have got overtime. He just came out freely, did that for us. And then I thank my son Jacob for sitting in with me. I had the evening shift, pumping the water out. And I think the vicar has the afternoon shift today. But those are some of the things happening. Congregational meeting, August 29th. Also, summer youth and middle schoolers on Wednesday, 6 to 8. Also, the senior youth will have their kickoff party, August 29th. Church picnic, September 12th. If you could sign up, we would appreciate it, just so we can make sure we have enough food. But you don't have to sign up. We're going to have a full church picnic this year. Grace Centers of Hope, we're collecting school supplies. The list is in your announcements. Also, Women's Book Group, August 24th. We're also thankful for our special music today. And the 4th Annual Usher Elder Party today, 1 to 4, Paul Quazzerano's. And today, our service, we're abbreviating it due to all the challenges. We're not having communion. We just couldn't prepare it all in the dark. And we really want people not to go into the building. They have to go to the bathroom. So we're trying to get you out of here quickly, okay? So we are abbreviating the service. We rise for opening hymn.
No.
No.
Yeah. Oh, call to worship. I'm sorry.
Amen, bro.
You were being abbreviated.
Yeah. and the Holy Spirit. You may be seated. Our Old Testament reading today comes from Isaiah chapter 7. Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Here ends our Old Testament reading. Our epistle reading today comes from Galatians chapter 4. "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir." Here ends our epistle reading. We rise for the Holy Gospel. Our Holy Gospel lesson today comes from Luke chapter 1. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her." Here ends our Holy Gospel reading. We'll continue by confessing our faith in the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God and very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made a man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who of Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified by, who is made by the prophets. I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated.
Amen. When I do a wedding and go to the reception, you know, I'll have the clerical on, and I'll always go to the bar, and, you know, they'll ask, what will you drink? And I always say, well, vodka and tonic, that would be good. And I said, but, you know, maybe I should order a Bloody Mary. It sounds so religious. The Bloody Mary is named after Queen Mary the First, who ruled over England and Ireland. She killed many Protestants. She had blood on her hands, thus the Bloody Mary. Now the good news is we don't have to worry. We're not Protestants, right? We're Lutherans. We're really more Roman Catholic. We got booted out of the church. We didn't protest and leave. We still desire reconciliation and reform. Our brothers and sisters of the Roman Catholic Church today are celebrating the Assumption of Mother Mary. The Assumption of Mary is a tradition, though not in Scripture, that Mary did not see death. She floated up to heaven just like Jesus. Now, what's interesting, we still have, even though we don't call it the Assumption of Mary, we have the Feast of Mary on this day, on the Lutheran calendar. So I thought it would be good to talk a little about Mary. She is not just a normal person. I think so often that's how we treat her. She's just like anybody else. She's not like anybody else. Gabriel came and spoke to her. She's a virgin and she bears God in her womb. She is not just the average person. She is special. I don't think Luther would appreciate the position we have placed Mary in our church. I want to share with you some quotes of Luther about Mary and what he believed. In 1522, he said, "There could be no doubt that the Virgin Mary is in heaven. How it happened, we do not know." Notice, he's referring to the Assumption. We don't know, maybe. "And since the Holy Spirit has told us nothing about it, we can make of it no article of faith. It is enough to know that she lives in Christ." Sermon on Christmas in 1531. "She is the highest woman and the noblest gem in Christianity after Christ. She is nobility, wisdom, and holiness personified. We can never honor her enough. Still, honor and praise must be given to her in such a way as to injure neither Christ nor the Scriptures." Did he pray to Mary? Listen to this quote. "One should honor Mary as she herself wished and she expressed in the Magnificat. She praised God for his deeds. How then can we praise her? The true honor of Mary is the honor of God, the praise of God's grace. Mary is nothing for the sake of herself, but for the sake of Christ. Mary does not wish that we come to her, but through her to God." It's interesting. Through her. Maybe he is referring to prayer. Another quote. "Mary is the mother of Jesus and the mother of all of us, even though it is Christ alone who reposed on her knees. If he is ours, we ought to be in his situation, there where he is. We ought also to be, and all that he has ought be ours. And his mother is also our mother." So he would call Mary the mother of all believers. He believed she was without sin. It is Sweetenpie's belief that the infusion of Mary's soul was affected without original sin, so that in the very situation of her soul, she was also purified from original sin and adorned with God's gift. Receiving a pure soul infused by God, thus, from the first moment she began to live, she was free from all sin. Luther also believed, it's not in Scripture, that not only is Jesus immaculately conceived, but also Mother Mary. He also believed she was a perpetual virgin. Christ our Savior was the real and natural fruit of Mary's virginal womb. This was without the cooperation of a man, and she remained a virgin after that. In another sermon, "Christ was the only son of Mary, and the Virgin Mary bore no children besides him." I am inclined to agree with those who declare that brothers, we're going to read a scripture where it talks about Jesus' siblings. Many say that you would call your cousins brothers and sisters. And so they would argue the point, Mary had no other children. I am inclined to agree with those who declare that brothers really mean cousins here, for Holy Writ and the Jews always call cousins brothers. Another quote from 1523, Scripture does not say or indicate that she later lost her virginity. When Matthew says that Joseph did not know Mary carnally until she had brought forth her son, it does not follow that he knew her subsequently. On the contrary, it means that he did not know her. Another quote, Christ our Savior was the real and natural fruit of Mary's virginal womb. This was without the cooperation of a man, and she remained a virgin after that. So Luther would have much more in common with the Roman Catholic Church at this point than we do, believing that Mary was without sin, immaculately conceived, and the Assumption of Mary. You know, Luther prayed the rosary till the day he died. Till the day he died. 90% of the rosary is directed toward God. Now, the format that Luther used was the pre-Trent rosary. The pre-Trent rosary, let me read to you, Luther. Our prayer should include the Mother of God. What the Hail Mary says is that all glory should be given to God using these words. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus Christ, amen. It was after Trent they added, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. So you can see that Luther had a high regard for Mary. And it's still in our church, in our doctrine, our calendars, the church seasons. Listen to this quote. Pastor Farrah recognizes this book, the Book of Concord. The Book of Concord is full of what we believe and teach and how we understand Scripture. And when you're ordained, you're asked, do you believe that this is in full agreement with Scripture? You have the Augsburg Confession, the Apology of Augsburg Confession, the small called articles. Now let me just go. This is from the Apology of the Augsburg Confession. Now, when I was ordained, obviously I didn't read this. When I was ordained, I would have made issue with this part. Granted that Blessed Mary prays for the church. Where is that in Scripture? Mary's in heaven praying for the church? We have that nowhere in Scripture. Now, let me continue reading. Granted that Blessed Mary prays for the church. Does she receive souls in death? Does she overcome death? Does she give life? What does Christ do if Blessed Mary does all this? Even though she is worthy of the highest honors, she does not want to be put on the same level as Christ, but to have her example considered and followed. The fact of the matter is that in popular estimation of the Blessed Virgin has completely replaced Christ. Men have invoked her, trusted in her mercy, and sought through her to appease Christ as though he was not a propitiator, but only a terrible judge and avenger. Now, let me tell you what those words, why they're written that way. It was in the 4th century that Mary starts to be elevated. And Christ is portrayed as an angry, judging God, not loving, not forgiving. And so people start to look to Mary. Remember, Mary got Jesus to do his first miracle, turning water into wine. Jesus can't turn down his mom. You go to Mary because she's filled with grace, and she'll make intercession for us to Jesus. And you can see one of the great things of the Reformation was that Mary can't answer your prayers, that we have an intercessor. We do have someone to go to, and it's Jesus Christ in him alone. In Mark 3:21, when his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said he is out of his mind. In Mark 6:3, isn't this the carpenter? isn't this Mary's son and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. There is no reason to consider them his cousins. Those are siblings of Jesus Christ. Mary is not a perpetual virgin. And she should have a great position in the church, but not that above Christ. One day, somebody came to Jesus, and this person's talking about his mom. Listen, as Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." Now, if Jesus wanted attention on Mary, he would have said something about it. But listen to what he says. "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey." He puts it on God's word, not Mary. In Revelation 12, not sure how to interpret this. I don't have all the answers. This is about Jesus coming into the world. It can represent, the woman mentioned here could represent the Old Testament church. And it could represent Mary. A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. Have you ever noticed when you go to a Roman Catholic church, many times there'll be gold stars painted on the ceiling? That's from this verse. That's recognizing Mary. Often the statue will have 12 stars around her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. This is the Christmas story. This is the Christmas story. Remember, all the babies were killed? She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. That is Jesus Christ. And what does he do for us in heaven? Not only has he died and rose again, washed away our sins, but listen, he intercedes. Not Mary, not any other saint, Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus." Romans 8:34. "Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." Ephesians 3:12. "In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence, not fear." We don't have to go through mama. We have Jesus, God himself. Hebrews 4:16. "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." There is one intercessor, Jesus Christ. But Mary is an example to all of us, a role model of how to believe and trust in God and his promises, and to have confidence and trust that he will see us through. And that's what we hold on to with Mary. The example she taught us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We rise for prayer. Eternal God, the refuge of all your children, in our weakness, you are our strength. In our darkness, our light. In our sorrow, our comfort and peace. May we always live in your presence and serve you in our daily lives. Today we pray for those grieving the loss of loved ones, the family and friends of Sarah Groton, Mike Groton's mom, for those facing health concerns, Greg Apple's father, Anita Menino, Dale Robinson, Jason, Parker Reynolds, Austin Nizwicki, Tim Duff, Candy Mandel, Chris Decker, Rick Russ, Kurt Young, Nancy Dillman, Helen Hitaki, Ileana, Ronnie and Mary, Beverly, Jim Meningo, Jim Zier, and Marge. For all those serving in the military, police and firefighters, for all those suffering from other health concerns and for their caregivers, that they help themselves to caring for everyone who is sick. for all state, local, federal, and world leaders, that God would surround them with wise counsel, and for all those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries. Our sanctuary altar flowers today, placed by Amy and Eric Stein, and our lectern flowers, placed by the O'Reilly family, and our chapel altar flowers, placed by the Quasarano family. We thank our Family of God Soup Kitchen sponsors this month, Barbara and David Peterson, Tom and Kathy Ely, the May family, John Baker, the Mader family, the Dobring family, the Illich family, the Orva family, the Clark family, and an anonymous donor. All this we ask as you have taught us to pray.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
His countenance upon you and give you his peace.